Hi, welcome to True Creeps, where the stories are true and the creeps are real. We'll cover stories from grotesque gore to the possibly plausible paranormal, to horrifying history, to tense and terrible true crime, and everything else that goes bump in the night. We're your hosts, Amanda,
and I'm Lindsay, and we want you to join us while we creep.
We cover mature topics. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, everybody. Today, we're going to be talking about the Enfield Monster, also known as the Enfield Horror. I think that this particular cryptid is getting like a bad rep. So we're going to call him the monster because there's nothing really particularly horrific about them other than they're just lurking about.
We love a good lurker.
We do love a good lurker. We love a good weird little guy. And I feel like he's just a weird little guy.
Like a little scamp?
Yeah, a little scamp. Like, he gives me Dover Demon vibes. They are 100% friends.
Okay.
They are in like a best friend comedy, a la Step Brothers, if you will.
I was thinking heart necklaces that they wear.
Oh, like best friends like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I could see it. I could see it.
Okay.
When they open a pack of zebra cakes, like each one gets one. Like aww. That's the kind of friends they are. Also, you live in Arizona. So wait, do you like zebra cakes?
I don't like a lot of those packaged cakes.
Well, you're wrong. But I also like of the packaged cakes, like those are the ones like my family like had when I was a kid. But my grandmother kept them in the refrigerator. So whenever we get them, because I'm not like always eating them, but like when I do.
She's like, I have them in my backpack at all times.
They have to be crisp. No, they're not in my backpack. They're in my fridge. They're crisp and cold like my Werther's that I keep in my fridge.
Okay, grandma.
Because I'm 9,000 years old. Like, anyway, so we're like 3 seconds into the episode and I've already gone on a tangent. But we're leaving that in episode proper because.
Oh, yeah.
Zebra cakes are that's important, and it's important to their lore for you to know that the Enfield Monster and the Dover Demon will share a pack of zebra cakes or butterscotch crumpets.
We're not sponsored by zebra cakes, but we could be.
Unless they're somehow deeply unless like little Debbie is like a bad Deborah.
Evil.
You know what I mean? Like maybe yeah. She is like maybe she's bad Deborah and I just don't know about it. I hope she's not a bad Deborah. I hope she's a chill Deborah. Anywho, one of the unique things about this particular slew of cryptid sightings is that pretty close to the time of the original sightings, like less than a month, a sociological research team traveled to Enfield to include this in their study about social contagions because they were like, perhaps this is an example of that.
Yeah.
When you think social contagions, think about like people are having sensory data input that there is no discernible reason for, like our Gloria Ramirez story, where there's no discernible reason why people were getting sick, and yet. So that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But we'll talk more about that when it gets there. But like, it's just interesting that how fast they got there. They were like, we are first on the scene. And this was the 70s. They were like, we're going to find this out now. So there's many articles about these cryptids, and a lot of them cite and quote that article. And that article sums up and paraphrases quotes from the locals as though they are the actual quote. But they're not. The quotes that we are going to share today are fresh, uncut. They're gorgeous. And they come from an article titled Monster Poo-Pooed by Chris Detrow that was published in The Reading Eagle in August of 1973. Despite the funny title, it does seem as though Chris was a legitimate journalist. They weren't just writing about cryptids only. The newspaper was a serious newspaper. I flipped through and looked at the rest of the articles in there. It was like standard newspaper stuff of like mm-hmm. local news, politics, ads and such. So it wasn't just
nonsense.
One of those grocery market ones, you know, where you're like, ooh.
I love those, though. Those are great.
Oh, yeah. It's great. But would I trust it? No. But so if you notice that our quotes are a bit different than others you've heard, that's why. And so sightings of the Enfield Monster were predictably in Enfield, which is in Illinois, which was a super tiny town. At the time of the sightings, there were only 750 people that lived there.
Yeah, that's not very many people.
No.
So Greg Garrett, who was just 10 years old at the time, who lived in Enfield, had an encounter with this creature. Greg said that the creature, quote, jumped out of some bushes, stomped on his feet, and had torn his tennis shoes to shreds.
Rude.
Yeah, uncalled for. Okay, so understandably, Greg freaked the fuck out and started screaming as he ran home. His shoes are torn, so I'd be pretty pissed off, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Also, just as a side note, the name Greg Garrett, when we were doing this research, I was reading Greg Garrett. I was like, oh, that's an adult. And I was like, no, that's a child. And I was like, but is Gray Garrett, is he ever a child? Because that's just such an adult name.
Yeah.
It sounds like he has like a mortgage at like 7 probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Gladys can't be a child.
Oh, but I would love to see a baby Gladys. That's very cute.
I saw some posts about that recently.
Adorable.
Anyways, so that was one sighting. Let's talk about Henry McDaniel's sighting. So 50-year-old Henry McDaniel, an adult, not a child, who lived in Enfield, was telling people about the creature he encountered on his porch on April 25th of 1973. Law enforcement allegedly threatened him with jail time if he kept talking about what he saw. It's a big cover-up, guys. So we're going to talk more about it in a bit. Some accounts talk about Henry's children saying that they saw something weird in the yard hours before Henry in his encounter.
Yeah.
As an interesting note, before we get into his description of the creature, Henry said he had a photographic memory, which meant that he could vividly recollect how the creature looked despite it being pretty dark out. That's a nice tool to have. I wish I could do that. It would make research so much easier.
I mean, it would make the research easier, but like we synthesize it. So it's not as though, you know what I mean? Like then you'd be like, am I reading it in my head or reading it in the notes?
I don't know. I'd take that gamble though for that.
I don't know. That'd be too much pressure.
And then interestingly, Greg, the child, Greg, who had the first sighting, lived right behind Henry. So it likes a particular area, it seems. However, chronologically, he reported his sighting after Henry's. But what tore his shoes?
Who could say?
Henry told a reporter from the Mount Vernon Register News about his encounter, which happened around 9:30 p.m. He had just gotten home after attending a meeting when he heard an odd sound at his front door, a scratching sound. Perhaps a raccoon.
Would love that.
I know. I just want a raccoon to come over so badly. So he hears the scratching sound. So he, of course, goes and peeks outside and he saw something was out there. He thought it may be a bear. So he opened the door. Seems like the wrong thing to do.
Yes.
And that's when he saw the creature.
If you look outside and you see something that you think is a bear, you don't open the door.
All I think of is that little girl. Can I pet that dog?
Yeah, I mean, relatable. Do I want to cuddle a bear? Yes.
Yes.
Do I logically know that they very much do not want that? Also, yes. And I'm certainly not going to open my door. But anyway, that's just a bad idea. So here's how Henry described the creature. Now, again, a reminder, a lot of people use a different quote and they describe the character's eyes as flashlights. So then I did a whole bunch of flashlight math. But it wasn't flashlights. It was something else. And we'll talk about it in a second. But this is a direct quote from Henry. I shined my flashlight on it and saw these two eyes about 3 inches apart, kind of glowing, red or pink, back at me, like truck reflectors. And it had three legs right in a row, standing there just like a man. Its arms were short and stubby. And I was like, ugh, Henry is true creeps. Does that not sound like how we described the Dover Demer? Like, and then he had fingies. Like,
yeah.
I had a really hard time picturing this in my head because the three legs, and then he goes, just standing there like a man. And I'm like, men don't have three legs unless you're saying it's a euphemism for what that third leg is, right? So just 3 feet right there?
For no reason. I was thinking of a stool.
Oh my God. Brilliant, though. That makes more sense than just like three next to each other, because all I can think is that how do you not get them all tangled up when you're trying to like run? But it's not noodles. Like, they're still going to go forward, backward. I don't know why in my head they're more tentacle like. There's no reason for that. In at least one article that I saw with them, the image that people put there was from the movie Critters, which is one of my favorite horror movie series of all time. I have like a massive replica that someone made of my favorite character from that. But like, I was like, this doesn't even have 3 feet. Like, I was like annoyed by it, but I was like, actually, no. Critters have 2 feet, two arms, and they turn into balls. They don't jump.
Clearly.
But I felt annoyed that they picked the wrong creature. Anyway, so that was Henry's description. So Henry said after he opened his door to this creature,
this possible bear.
Possible bear. Not a bear once he sees it, though.
Yeah.
So he opens the door and is like, whoo, takes it in. Takes it visually.
Oh, I was like, fix it up.
You're like, he takes it. What do you mean? I was like, I mean, like, I'd be tempted, you know? He opens the door, perceives this creature, and is like, closes the door. Then he runs into his bedroom, and you guessed it, he grabbed a flashlight and a revolver.
Of course he did.
Of course he did.
Weird creature, I need to shoot it.
And that is exactly what he does. So he runs back to his front door, opens the door, and he's looking for the monster. Now, earlier, When he opened the door, the monster was like on the other side, like he was going to sell him Girl Scout cookies. He was so close to the door that Henry describes him as trying to get into his home. Right. So he's there. So yeah. Like, I can understand being like, I'm going to get you if you're trying to get in, especially mm-hmm. knowing that Henry has kids and stuff. It's like, I don't know what this is and it's not coming into my house. Sure. OK. But when he goes back outside, it's like 12 feet away. It's like it's hiding. So he goes outside, gun in hand, looking for the creature.
OK. OK.
Also, I need you to know that when I said gun in hand, I like lifted my hands up like I was like Yosemite Sam. Amanda can see me, but this is an audio medium because otherwise we'd have to be constantly presentable in this.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a trash person.
Can't do that. I'm a goblin right now, baby.
So he ended up finding it between two rose bushes near a massive maple tree in his front yard. Sounds like a magical yard.
I know, but like, can you just imagine? You go outside, you see this creature. And it's like, it's something, right? It's something that you don't recognize. So that's alarming. But it's like perched between rose bushes near like a beautiful tree. It's springtime, mind you. And you're like, absolutely not. You will not stop and smell my roses, kind sir.
I hate people.
I know.
Just let the weird bear thing live.
It's not hurting you. I mean, I don't love that it tried to get into your house. Totally fair. But you don't have to hunt it now.
I mean, if an animal tries to get in my house, I just open the door.
If an animal comes near Amanda, she imports it and then opens her door.
I do. I have one imported Puerto Rican dog behind me. We were recording a couple years back. And remember, I'm like, my Ring doorbell went off. There's dogs outside. And I let them in.
She also used to have to pause recording for when her ducks would come so she could feed the ducks. Like, whatever animal comes in Amanda's proximity, she's like, I'm your mother now.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't understand what this guy was thinking. Free animal.
Yeah. When you move to Maryland, you're going to have so many animals in your care.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get back to our episode.
Okay.
Because today is Tangents and Cryptids, baby.
Our favorite. Okay, so the creature's between the two rose bushes near a maple tree. So Henry decides, okay, I'm going to approach it. But of course, I'm going to shoot it 4 fucking times. And that's when he got within 8 feet of it.
Yeah.
Now, Henry said, quote, when I fired that first shot, I knew I hit it. It just hissed. Did you ever hear a cottonmouth hiss? Well, that's how it sounded. Yeah, I'd be pretty pissed if you shot me too.
Yeah, I would also hiss if I got shot.
Yeah. So it was pretty dark out and the creature luckily ran away. Henry said, quote, then it jumped into those weeds over there and then it jumped again over that ditch and then a third time onto the tracks. I never did see it turn. It just jumped.
It's got them 3 legs. It's got a far distance.
Okay.
And don't worry, we're going to explain to you just how far it traveled.
Mm-hmm. This total distance of this is about 75 feet.
We don't know feet, do we? Like, what's a foot? What's that look
that's
like?
That's hard to imagine. We don't know what 75 feet is. So we'll put it in our terms for you.
Yeah.
That's just a bit over 18 12-year-old boys. And I will say, when we were looking around at houses in Maryland, Lindsay points out the window very loudly. And she's like, that's a 12-year-old boy. I'd know it. Something like that.
No, child. No. Here's what happened. I will explain it to you. We were in D.C. We were driving by a Harris Teeter.
Okay. We were in a car.
Yeah, it was. There was a child on their own who had like a reusable grocery bag. Like he had just gone shopping. He was on one of those little like rental scooter things. He looked like a young professional who was just stopping at the grocery store on his way home, like a little adult. And we were guessing at how old he was. And everybody had different ages. I was like, oh, no. He's 12. I would know. And like, Amanda and I understand this reference, right? But Ben and Mike are like, what? And I was like, that sounded very bad. That sounded very bad.
Well, they'd know if they'd listen. That's on them.
Mm-hmm. It's their fault.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Henry is in hot pursuit of the Enfield monster.
I imagine him jumping after it.
Yeah. Jumping 75 feet, just hopping along.
Yeah.
He's like, well, maybe it's like a video game where they're like hitting things and like it helps them jump. Like maybe he's got trampolines hidden in the yard and the weeds and shit. You know what
Ooh,
I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, so he's following this creature and he gets to the train tracks and that's when he loses it. Now, we mentioned Chris Detrow earlier, but he described this better. So I'm going to quote exactly what they said. Okay, you ready? He said, then Henry jumped the ditch and got on the tracks and shined his light. By the time Henry had gone booting and scooting a good 440 yards where the tracks curved.
Was this you?
I was like, that's real banging and clanging energy.
It is.
Booting and scooting. Which also, like, the name of this episode is going to be Booting and Scooting with the Enfield Monster.
Clearly. Clearly.
Yeah. How do you not? Booting and scooting. Because, I mean, he was booting and scooting. He was just booting and scooting trying to catch that critter.
Yeah.
So, okay, again, despite his best booting and scooting, Henry could not catch up to the creature. Which I feel like is probably for the best because he probably would have shot it again.
Yeah, he seemed very shoot happy. So,
okay. Yeah. And like, just as like a little bit of a spoiler alert, it seems like everybody was super bloodthirsty for this creature, despite it having harmed, truly harmed, no one. Like, it scared a little kid and like ripped his shoes, but like, it didn't hurt him.
A cat could do that.
Yeah. And I'm going to purse my lips because you'll understand why later.
So at some point during all of this, someone called the police who showed up after the creature had gone away. It could have been Henry's wife or perhaps a neighbor who just heard the gunshots and is like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, they're like, Henry's going off.
Henry's losing it again, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So remember, the police were called. James Messer of the Illinois State Police helped Henry look for the monster. He's like, I just got to see this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Also, he's like shooting at things. So he's like,
maybe not.
He comes out and he's like, Henry, why are you out here booting, scooting and shooting? It's a Wednesday night, I'm pretty sure. Or Tuesday.
I can't even think of it. But yeah, he's like, bet, I'll help you. We'll find it. We'll shoot it again.
He's like, bet, fam. No cap. But it is cap because he's...
Shit, the double pistols again.
Well, you could tell with the sound effect. It gave it away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There, he didn't. One of these is a flashlight.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's the flashlight sound.
Oh, okay. Well, while they were searching, they found what looked like footprints from a dog, but they had one very distinguishable difference. They had 6 toe pads. Most dogs only have 5.
I also do just want to point out that Henry was like, this little dude was standing like a man. So that makes it sound like it's a, I mean, generally we would say like bipedal, but like tripedal, standing upright. Mm-hmm. So like standing upright, 3 legs, but it has footprints like a dog. So that's only 3 legs. Is it a dog that's missing a leg? Like, it was like only one difference between that and a dog. And I was like, didn't it have less footprints, though, than what a dog would have?
Well, they're saying the toe pads, like the...
I know, but they didn't talk about how there would be a different amount.
Oh, yeah.
Of like footprints legs. As well. They're just like, no, it was exactly the same as a dog. And I'm like, but was it?
Yeah. So they really get into this.
Mm-hmm.
Plaster casts were taken of the tracks, but we couldn't find a particular outcome of their analysis.
Or even where they sent them.
They're like, we're just going to keep this. He has it on his mantle somewhere.
It's somebody's like garden foot pads, you know, like little like stepping stones. That would be so cute to make like a cement cryptid footprint.
Oh, that'd be cute.
For a yard, yeah.
So they also found some gray fur along with the footprints. When talking about the creature, Henry also said, quote, if they do find it, we'll find more than... I gotta say this again with a straight face.
But we can't take that out where, as you read some of these quotes, it's like, it breaks you because you're like, he's so sure.
He is. He is very sure. So Henry said, quote, if they do find it, they're going to find more than one, and they won't be from this planet. I can tell you that.
How does he know there would be more than one? Does he just look like a guy who has friends?
I guess, yeah.
Did it scream like, I've got buddies, as it was like jumping around?
Yeah, for sure. Henry's wife was home at the time of the encounter, but she did not see the creature.
Part of what I love about this is that Henry continues to talk about this, right? Which is, again, earlier we mentioned they threatened to throw him in jail. I like that she wasn't like, I'm going to back you up.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't like, you know what? You say it. I believe you. I'm just going to say that I saw it too to like bolster your credibility because I don't want people to make fun of you. She's like, I did not see that. Like, she was like, mm-mm.
I mean, I wouldn't. I'd be like, he's crazy. I don't know what he's doing.
He was out there booting, scooting, and shooting again. I don't know. Like, I'm kidding. I don't think he was booting and scooting and shooting generally. Like, he seemed like a very kind and general dude. But I just think it's funny that she was like, I'm not having any part of this.
He was doing something.
Yeah.
So, interestingly, Henry said that local students had told him they had also seen the creature at a baseball game at the school, which was only a few hours before his sighting. So he went to a baseball game, went and hung out in rose bushes.
Mm-hmm. And fucked up some kid's shoes.
Yeah, yeah. And then on April 26th of 1973,
Carmi Times published a story describing a monster that attacked Enfield, Illinois, which was close by. By April 30th, Henry received about 250 phone calls about the creature. It's a lot of phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
He said that even one of them was from, quote, a government representative. Probably because he's saying that they're not from this world. They're like, what?
But also, I don't think government representatives are like, you know what? We're just going to call this guy up and confirm everything. Sure. Sure. That's what the government does. We know from like Mothman sightings that when, and just general like cryptid-ish things, that when, quote, the men in black, which are thought to be like government people who are trying to hide UFO stuff, they're not trying to get you to talk about it more and telling you more. They want you to do less. So mm-hmm. I'm like, interesting.
Yeah. So Henry said that the person who called him said that the encounter he described matched incidents that had started happening in 1967. So a few years before.
Mm-hmm.
Henry also said that the person he spoke to told him that they were all UFO related. So Henry knew. Mm. He already knew this. And interestingly, we hadn't heard much about 1967 being like a significant year of UFOs, but it definitely was. So we're planning on doing a future episode on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that'll be an interesting read. Also a horrifying read because one of the things that I am just genuinely and fully terrified of. Okay, so just recapping our timeline very quickly. April 25th is the original sighting.
Mm-hmm.
On May 6th, around 3 a.m., Henry said he saw the creature again. Sir, what are you doing outside? What are you doing outside? Go back inside. Stop booting and scooting.
He's waiting for it.
He's waiting for it.
He watches those rose bushes daily.
He is. But actually, where he saw it was on the train tracks. And it was like standing at the railroad tracks outside of his home, which like bizarre. And also, I'm assuming it's dark. It's like the middle of like a small town. They've just got places to be.
They're hitching a ride.
They're just traveling by the rails.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also around this time, a radio station from Indiana, WWKI in Kokomo, sent someone to Enfield to see if they could record the screech that it was making. And we'll talk more about that screech in a moment because they were looking for the screech. Someone else does a recording of the screech to see like what they think it might be. Because as we were reading, there's no stories or sightings that are like people heard a screech. It's just suddenly discussion of people trying to record the screech, which bizarre. But okay, throwing into the mix, he is eyes that are red or pink that are kind of like truck reflectors.
Mm-hmm.
He's like 4 to 5 feet tall, 3 legs, gray fur, kind of humanish, if you will.
3 legs, yeah.
3 legs, you know, as we do. And so this radio station sends out Rick Rainbow, and he brought Ed Phillips with him.
Good old Ed.
And we guess that they thought that Ed was an animal expert because he was both a big game hunter and a pet shop owner.
I feel like that can't go together.
I don't like that at all. So Rick and Ed brought tranquilizer guns with them plus, quote, other monster hunting paraphernalia. That's anyone's guess, but I am unnerved.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want them loose.
Yeah. I don't want Ricky and Ed loose.
Good old Ricky and Ed.
Ricky and Ed booting and scooting and
shooting.
Booting, scooting, and tranking was where I went. It doesn't rhyme, but it is accurate.
Yeah.
Because then I'm like, okay, well, if Ed finds it, is he going to mount it or sell it? Which one is it?
Who could know?
Anyone's guess.
Coin flip.
Coin flip. So fortunately, Rick and Ed were not able to hunt it because the sheriff, who we'll talk more about in a moment, put a stop to the hunting of the creature. Rick said he thought he had seen it in a town just north of Enfield, which is called Springerton. When he saw it, it was in an abandoned shed. He also said it had gray fur, but he said like gray black. And then he said it was 5 to 5.5 feet tall, so a little bit taller than what Henry had seen. But height perspectives.
It's taller than us.
Ma'am, I'm 5 feet. 5 feet, 2 inches, 3/4.
But not 5.5.
I'm definitely not 5.5.
Yeah.
What a treat. Also, when I'm picturing this, I am picturing a gray Mike Wazowski with 3 feet and fluffy.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know why. So some stories that relay Rick's encounter say that he described it as looking like an ape and say that he shot at it. But it isn't always said. I also just don't understand, like, an ape is not 3-legged, and I don't think that they can jump that far. But who am I? I also need you to know, I want to know about Rick and Ed. Like, I want to know what they're up to.
I want the children's book.
Yeah, I want the children's book, the ebook that they've like self-published. Like, yeah. No judgment there. My dad self-published a pinball repair manual. That's the vein that I'm seeing. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're like, here's your guide to hunting monsters in the 1970s.
I see them skipping along a trail on the cover of like a golden book.
The train tracks.
The train tracks, yeah.
And above them leaping is the Enfield monster. It's a good visual.
But they're like holding hands and like skipping, holding guns on either side.
And far, far in the back is Henry scooting, booting, and shooting. Two hands up in the air.
Yeah.
That's a visual. But so we really wanted to know about them. I could not find anything else about them.
Or his pet shop.
Or his pet shop. Or his like big game hunting. Any of it. I was like, I am curious. But they didn't. We couldn't find anything other than like radio station stuff, which if you're into that, perhaps that is interesting. For us, we moved on.
We know some radio station history, though, now.
Yeah, we do. A little bit of everything. Okay, so the next person who we're going to talk about who heard about sightings has, frankly, one of my favorite names that we've heard in a while. Her name was Myrtis Fields. And she got a letter that was addressed to the publisher of the Enfield newspaper. But she was like, I'm going to open this because she's like, there is no Enfield newspaper. So there's no publisher. So like, this could be for me. Myrtis, however, was the town treasurer for Enfield. She was also a stringer for WROY radio station and Carmi newspaper. And I was like, what the fuck is a stringer? I had no clue what that meant. It's a person who's like a freelance journalist or photographer that's employed by the newspaper, though. So it's like more of like an ad hoc basis. It's like interesting. But anyway, so Myrtis is like, this is a letter for me, which I would also do. I would be thank you. I'm nosy. Anyway, so Myrtis, she opens this letter and it's from a man named Alan Yorkshire. And Alan lived in Elyria, Ohio. And he was writing her because he believed that the creature that everybody saw was, you guessed it, his pet kangaroo, Macy. Macy had gone missing in 1972. She either ran away or was stolen. And he wanted his pet kangaroo back.
I would too.
I'm fair. He was offering a $500 reward for information leading to the return or capture of Macy. And first off, that would be about $3,600 in today's money. But also the phrasing return or capture sounds like Macy is a criminal. You know what I'm saying? Like, like
she's on the run.
When she left, she stole some of the family's jewelry and like his prize car
jewels.
And hightailed it out. Yeah. She scooted out like the capture of Macy. Oof. Oh, parentheses, the capture of Macy. That's our long show title.
Fall Out Boy song.
Yeah, we love it, right? So it seems like Henry was consulted on all the leads because they're like, he's got an opinion on everything. So I'm like, people are talking to him like, well, what do you think about this? And he was very sure it wasn't a kangaroo. And why is he so sure? We would love to tell you. It's because, this is per Henry, I'm going to say it.
Can't look at you.
Like, I know. She can't look at me. I'm going to say it with the gusto that I think Henry had it, because I think that he had like feelings about this. Mm-hmm. I used to have one as a pet myself until I sold it to this fella that had an animal show. And kangaroo tracks have claw marks and a kangaroo has a narrow face. This wasn't no kangaroo.
Also, it doesn't have three legs, but okay. Kind of easy.
I feel like people are like three legs in the beginning and then just move the fuck on from that. Like that wasn't said because it's like in the Dyatlov Pass when they're like, well, what about this? And I'm like, but where are their fucking tongues? How are you all forgetting that their tongues were gone? And here it's, how are we forgetting a third leg?
Yeah.
Anywho.
So just a quick kangaroo as a pet tangent.
A planned tangent, though, because you also had to be curious about kangaroos as pets in the 1970s.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently it was a thing. So we thought owning kangaroos was relatively uncommon. So what are the odds that two people here had kangaroos?
Yeah. Like, it's just strange.
It's weird. So apparently it's still legal in some states to have a kangaroo as a pet. But it's probably not a good idea. Their upkeep is pretty difficult. I'd imagine that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Plus, some species of kangaroo can run up to 35 miles per hour. Imagine that, like getting out of your door and having to run after it.
Yeah, absolutely not.
They also can have a kicking force of up to 759 pounds in a single kick. Lindsay, I don't understand what that means.
Oh,
what is 759 pounds?
That is a kicking force of the weight of 8.5 12-year-old boys.
Thank you. Now I get it.
Now, like, it's the weight of them, not the force of how hard 8.5, 12-year-old boys would kick. Because I'm just imagining, like, a can-can line. It's not that. It's the weight.
Tying them together and, like, throwing it at someone. Is that not what you were thinking?
The great American weapon. 8.5, 12-year-old boys tied together and thrown at people.
It's just a half a kid.
I'm crying. Okay.
This is a weird episode, okay?
We're going so many places.
We've had a long day.
All in Enfield, though.
Yeah.
It's been a long day.
So kangaroos also, some of them can bend metal. Fuck. They're like, you know what my kangaroo can do? It can bend this type of metal. And they're like, well, mine could do this one.
Like, one of the strongest kangaroos, there's like videos of him bending a pot.
I've seen some weird ones of like the scary strong ones that look terrifying.
No, that's what I'm saying. I have a little like note for a comment because I just wanted to point out that like if you type in like scary kangaroos in TikTok, you're gonna stop seeing Kanga and Roo from Winnie the Pooh in your head and start seeing that kangaroo buff. From Tekken.
Yeah.
That like buff one that was like, hey, I've come here to like fucking fight. It's like what I'm picturing is a kangaroo just fucking like squaring up, hopping obviously, at you being like, I'm here to kick, punch, and chew bubblegum and I'm all out of bubblegum.
While it's hissing too.
Yes. Like a cotton mouth.
Yeah. It probably deflected the bullet, honestly.
Yeah. That's what kangaroo. Everybody knows that kangaroos are bulletproof.
That buffer probably is.
I mean, he bends the metal, he just catches it and is like, hi-ya, like yeah. Squeezes it.
Yeah, yeah. Bends the bullet. So some species also have a biting force equal to that of a grizzly bear. And Lindsay wanted to note that you shouldn't have that as a pet either.
Yeah, don't have grizzly bears as pets. That's a bad idea.
Might be. But there is that woman on TikTok that like has the bears that live on her porch all the time.
It's great until it's not.
They're best friends, know? Okay? It's going to be fine.
Look, I love that for her. I don't know, but you know.
There's also been some sightings of wild kangaroos in Texas where it has been legal to keep them as pets. I don't love that.
But again, I just think that that's a bad idea. They're people-sized and way fucking stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I've got an idea for you. Do you want a pet that if it fights you, you will absolutely lose?
Yeah.
It can bend metal. Why are you trying to tame this creature? I don't think people are keeping them in their homes necessarily. It's just like, why do you need to own this creature?
Right. I have seen people having wallabies as pets, but they're much smaller. Although I feel like you still shouldn't have it, but I just Googled it because I was curious. It's legal in Arizona and New York.
If you are caring for a creature that is normally not a domestic animal and you are doing so because it is injured, it was found in your like an area and this is where it grew up and it doesn't know its native home. That is one thing, right? It is a different thing entirely to like get an animal that does not belong as a pet, aka Tiger King, right?
Yeah.
That was part of the problem is that people are getting these animals and they don't know how to care for them.
Or they're exploiting them.
Yeah, they're exploiting them. But even with people with the best intentions end up like it's some form of neglect, right? Because like, how do you take care of an animal like that? And sometimes people are doing it legally. Sometimes people are doing it illegally. And that creates its own brand of issues. Because like, what are you going to do if it gets sick? Like, it's not like the average vet knows how to like kangaroo medicine.
Yeah. We had a hard time finding one for our tortoise. My tortoise has had tortoise surgery. Anyways, so on May 13th, an anthropology student at the University of Illinois recorded a screech that he thought may have been made by the creature. He concluded that it possibly was made by an ape. There have been sightings of wild apes throughout the Mississippi watershed since around 1941, which is very bizarre to me.
Yeah. Illinois is regionally. That makes sense, right? Like, we're not naming a distinct geographic area. That is reasonable based on where the Mississippi River runs. You feel me?
Yeah.
I was like, I just feel like it's important to know because I don't fucking know river geography. You know? But like, how fucking random.
That is very random. I would not expect to see that. And that's an instance where you might think you saw a cryptid.
Yeah. When I read that myself, I was like, at least like 18 different cryptids are that.
Yeah.
if so, because if you see an animal that doesn't belong there, you're not going to be like, oh, I bet that's a wild ape. If I saw a kangaroo in my woods, my brain wouldn't go, oh, that was a kangaroo. Like, immediately, it would be like, yeah, there was something fucking weird out there. And let me tell you, if they find it, we're going to know that it has friends and it's not from this planet. That's what I would think.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Obviously.
So Chris Detrow, who we mentioned earlier, interviewed a waitress at the Echo Cafe and Motel for his article. It's a lot of things happening there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She talked about how no one really believed Henry. And during the interview, someone else that was in the cafe asked her if the monster was caught. And she replied, quote, no, but if we do, we're going to butcher him and eat him. What the fuck is wrong with this woman?
What? Ma'am, chill out. I am suddenly very concerned about the meat source for that cafe.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Like, just like, that's the last thing that I would think to do. Like, that's last on the list.
That's why they need to
stressed.
Come to my house, so I'll just feed them.
You won't feed on them.
Yeah.
But it's like this whole town. That's how earlier I was like, there's a little bit of like bloodlust for this creature. They're just like, they're hungry for a kill. Like, it feels weird.
They have to kill one of them ever so yes. many years. Otherwise, it attacks.
It's like a reverse Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Otherwise, it gets too strong.
We've heard where people are like, we need to find it. We need to catch it. Where like there's guns involved because people want to protect themselves. But I just don't feel like we've ever had another cryptid where it's been quite so. People have been quite so
murderous,
bloodthirsty. They're like the villagers in fucking Beauty and the Beast.
Torches and stuff. Oh, no, when you said Jeepers Creepers, I imagine this three-legged thing with the Jeepers Creepers outfit, you know?
What is it? I'll be eating you? This is like such a fucking visual. Like, he's in that scary van.
Yeah.
He's got one leg kicked up, relaxed, while the other two, you know what I mean? Like, two legs kicked up, relaxed, one driving.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so this town's a little wild.
Yeah.
Anyways, on May 8th of 1973, the White County Sheriff's Office arrested five kids who were out in the woods shooting guns. That's terrifying. Per the sheriff, Roy Poshard Jr., quote, those kids were out there shooting at anything that moved.
Bootin' scootin' shooting. Whole town. The town that boots, scoots, and shoots.
And field monster.
The capture of Macy.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so let's continue his quote. Ever since this creature business got started, we've had people milling around here with guns and drinking. Like, of course they had to be drinking too.
Yeah.
And if I don't put a stop to it, somebody's going to get killed. People around here are afraid to let their kids out at night, and not because of the monster. No, you're giving them guns and letting them roam the woods.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah.
But anyways, okay. It's because they're afraid their kids will get shot. There isn't any monster. No, the monster are those kids in the woods right now.
Yeah. Well, and what this made me think of was very recently in our Hammersmith Ghost episode, we talked about a situation pretty similar to this where someone ended up dying.
Yeah.
Because of this, where people are just shooting and they're not thinking.
Not scooting, just shooting.
Yeah, they're not booting and scooting. They're just shooting and then hooting, you know? So, look, can you tell that we're fans of Chris Detrow yet? Do you remember our Florence and the Ghost episode? We were talking about how the doctor described Florence.
Oh, yeah. Creepily.
We're about to introduce you to that same energy.
Love it.
So this is how Chris Detrow described Sheriff Roy Poshard Jr. He's described him as, quote, a young sheriff with thick, muscular arms and chest. I just don't think that's
Chris
necessary.
Was really into Roy.
When I read that, I clutched my pearls. I was like, Christopher, sir, just say it louder.
I want to know about Chris and Roy's love story after this.
I love it.
With this muscular arms and chest. Just thinking thick, of the novel.
Thick muscular. like one of those old school romance novels. Like you see
this little sheriff
with his hand on a chest of like, yeah, but it's like the buttons are so fed. There's inexplicable wind. They're adjacent to a train track. And in the background, you can see Ed and Rick skipping with the Enfield monster jumping over them with Henry in the background, two guns up. But anyway, he's holding him, one hand on his chest, unbuttoned. He doesn't say it, but I'm assuming there's like some taco meat there, you know what I mean? And Roy looks like a newspaper guy. Like he's got one tucked up under his arm. He's got like a little like suit on. He's a very Clark Kent vibe, if you will.
Of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's it called when you're looking at a picture of something and then when you like move it, it moves? Do you know what I mean?
Like a holographic thing? Like a hologram?
Kind of like a hologram. Yeah.
Or lithograph print?
Yeah. The creature's jumping when you move it.
Oh, yes. He moves. Yes. Yeah. Of course. Of course. Because you need to know. And when it moves, you see they're like kicking up. You see one shoot come out of Henry's gun in the background.
Yes.
And you see... And Chris's hand moves ever so slightly down on Roy's chest. Just ever so slightly. Just a gentle
this
caress.
Episode has gone. Slightly so about much. The Enfield monster and more about Chris and Roy's relationship.
It's about, honestly,
town gossip.
Town gossip and some gentleman and gentleman romance, you know? It's a story about... This is good. Like, we normally have a very formulaic, like, episode description. Join us as we get into a story of friendship and romance in the most unlikely of places. Enfield, Illinois, 1973, with the Enfield Monster.
featuring.
But okay, we love it, Chris. We love to see it. Say it loud. Anyway, so earlier, do you remember law enforcement? We're thinking it was Roy, was like, Henry, you need to fucking stop or I'm going to put you in jail.
Right. Yeah.
The reason is because he kept talking about it and people were being reckless. And he was like, something bad is going to happen because you keep talking about this. And we'll talk a little bit more in a moment about just like the totality of the sightings and the experiences with the Enfield monster, because it's like, he won't stop talking about it. And so people are getting riled up.
Yeah.
But so we mentioned the sociologists earlier. They got to Enfield on May 10th and they began interviewing law enforcement, people who had reported sighting, and then just residents in the area, too. What they realized pretty soon into it was that most of the accounts were from Henry. And it was either Henry being like, here's what I saw, or him saying, here's what other people told me. We do know that in lots of situations where there's cryptids, people don't like to come forward and tell their stories because they're ridiculed. And Henry, like, spoiler alert, people weren't very kind to him about this. They didn't believe him. And they kind of like made fun of the fact that he was like so adamant about it, which, by the way, he was adamant his entire life. He never changed a story. Rick interviewed him at one point and he was like, I interviewed him with years in between and he always told the same story. It was always, this is exactly what I saw. It never changed up. He really did believe that Henry saw it. But all that to say, Henry was the person who was telling everybody about everybody's experiences. So like, oh, the kids saw this, or someone called me and said that they saw this thing, right?
Yeah, we've seen that in other episodes too.
Exactly. And so earlier we mentioned Greg, the child. When the sociologist interviewed him and his parents, they admitted that they made the story up to kind of make fun of Henry.
Aww.
Which I think is shitty.
Mean neighbors.
Right? Also, like, don't use your kid to, like, ridicule your neighbor. So in their journal article, they note that it's likely that media outlets picked up on the Enfield monster sighting so much because it was such a different tone from all of the somber events that were happening at that time. Mm-hmm. So it's early 1970s. We're just getting the Watergate disclosures. Also, geographically in that region, farmers were struggling because there had been severe flooding. So they had to delay their spring planting, which obviously was causing a lot of issues and stress. There's also the Vietnam War and there was the start of a recession. So this was like kind of like a breath of fresh air. It was something else. It was something interesting that presumably wasn't dangerous. And it wasn't like the fucking awfulness of the world.
Yeah.
Researchers also noted that there were not as many sightings and experience as with most social contagion situations. like, again, I'm going to use the Gloria Ramirez case that we've covered already, that there's lots of people who experience that, versus here, it really is only Henry who is saying he's seeing things that there's no logical explanation for. And they also noted that while most people talked about the Enfield monster a lot, most of them didn't believe the sightings and they didn't really change anything about how they went on about their lives. Most of them weren't out there hunting. It was just some people kind of like fucking around. But I just thought that was interesting that they were like, this doesn't follow the standard social contagions that we see because those are more widespread and there's more of an impact.
Yeah. So let's get into one of our favorite parts, the theories.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been a dog. The footprints with the extra toe pad could mean that it's polydactyl, which means that it would have six toes on each foot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I see a lot of cats that way lately, too. They're so cute.
My cat Stimpy had that when I was a kid, and she would like, she loved corn, and she would pick up like individual pieces of corn. She also really liked French fries, and she would like pick up her food sometimes and just like crunch it like it's a little snack. I think polydactyl cats are the cutest.
They are. And I had a three-legged dog once. Could have been mm-hmm, a three-legged mm-hmm. dog. It happens. Mm-hmm. It also could have been a Norwegian Lundahound, which is known for having an extra toe pad on each foot.
Also, the breed is particularly used for puffin hunting.
Oh,
which is so specific.
Puffins?
I know.
And a lot of dogs, too, will have their dew claws. And if they kind of sag and they run weird, sometimes it'll leave a little bit of an imprint. So it could be that.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like this particular dog is a mix of a fox, a corgi, and a husky.
But little.
Not massive.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this breed. So I was like, that's a very specific one. And it was used for puffin hunting, but now puffins are protected. So now they're just like an athletic dog. They just hang out.
Yeah. And they may not be looked at as a dog here either. So like Hallie's breed is not looked at as a breed here.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. She's a feist mix. Feist and like pity, probably.
Yeah. Also, by the way, they are tiny, tiny. Like they're 18 pounds at most, but they have an expectancy of up to 15 years, by the way.
I like that.
I love that.
Well, they're, mm-hmm. yeah, little dogs tend to live longer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could be a dog. Certainly. Mm-hmm, makes sense. Mm-hmm. Three-legged dog. Six toes. Or it obviously could be a kangaroo because everyone had like fucking pet kangaroos back then for whatever fucking reason.
Like my neighbor, his little dog comes out like attacks us all the time. I cannot imagine how angry I would be if my neighbor had a scary like buff kangaroo that was getting out.
I would love if your neighbor had a buff kangaroo.
I wouldn't.
Okay, so it could have been an ape. Sure, could have been. They were semi near there, I guess.
I love the amount of wildlife that it legitimately could be because it was shockingly present in the area.
Yeah, yeah. Also, they don't say, but it could have been like a wolf. Like the gray fur makes me think of some kind of wolf species.
But it was upright.
Have you seen the two-legged dogs? Okay.
I mean, I just... What a weird little guy, you know? Just a weird little guy. Dover Demon's like best friend.
Yeah.
Romance.
Yeah. I just think it was this. Hold on.
Oh my God, baby. Well, and Amanda just sent me like a picture of a wolf like jumping where he's like on his back feet. But what I was thinking about, too, is that perhaps when he opened the door, the creature had been up and it was scratching at the door on its back feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so he opens the door and for a moment it's standing upright. And what he sees is a tail.
Yeah.
It's hanging down.
It could have been. Yeah. I just sent you another one of a wolf. But look at the tails on each of them.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it looks. Oh, I don't fucking like that at all.
That's AI. It looks like that's terrifying.
I was like, that's absolutely. That's like AI. But
that's what he saw.
Or a very like realistic furry costume. But it absolutely could have been some type of creature that would normally be 4 feet on the ground. But they were scratching the door and their tail looked like the other leg because
yes.
He opened the door and then was like, nope. And went inside and got his gun. And then after that, he was in pursuit. And he doesn't necessarily explain, is it continuing to run on its three little feetsies? Or is it leaping like a little frog dude?
And I mean, they can jump pretty high, too.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that would be my guess. What about yours?
I just don't think it's an ape. I certainly don't think it's
no,
an ape.
No, it's not an ape. That's crazy.
I honestly, I'm going cryptid alien. Okay. I think it was a little alien guy.
Cute.
Why not?
Little scamp.
He's got Franz, a little scamp dude. Because the way that he describes him, he's so sure. I don't think that it like really matches up with anything else too consistently.
Is this like a Vance Hardware situation?
It feels like a Vance Hardware situation where like somebody just saw one of them. You know?
Okay.
And I like him.
You like?
He didn't attack that kid. That kid lied.
Yeah.
Greg and his parents lied about it. So the only violent or like aggressive story about it wasn't even real.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm like, he's just a dude.
Of course, we want to know what you think, too. What do you think the Enfield mm-hmm. monster is?
Mm-hmm.
Is it mm-hmm. a wild kangaroo? Is it
on the loose?
A wolf? A dog? What is it?
A domesticated kangaroo?
Domesticated kangaroo?
Quotes in quotes, by the way.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
If you are one of our Patreons and you still have cryptid stickers left, please build what you think he would look like.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see some Enfield monsters.
And one of our favorite things, right, is cryptids. So if you have any sort of cryptid story or sighting or anything,
I beg of you.
We have a listener episode coming up in October, and we want to feature that.
Yes, yes.
I mean, we want to hear about it all the time at any time, but we want to put it on there. So head to our website. There's a place where you can share your stories, and we'll mm-hmm. feature it in our October episode.
Yeah, because our podiversary is coming up mm-hmm. that we do each year.
Yeah.
Exciting. But I can't stress enough, we do want all of your weird stories.
All creepy, weird, creepy stories, strange, everything. Just tell us things.
Yeah.
We had some really good ones the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. We've always had good ones.
Yeah. Another thing that we're still doing is reviews for stickers. So if you leave us a review, screenshot it, send us a quick email with your shipping address, and we'll send you a sticker as a thank you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as always, if you want to support the show, our Patreon is open. You only have a couple more months to get in on the fall card. Cutoff is September. Mm-hmm, we've had mm-hmm. some really fun Patreon nights. Lindsay just mentioned our cryptid building. So if you want to look at that, it starts at only $1 and you would help support the show. Podcasting is not cheap, believe it or not.
It is, in fact, not.
It helps. It helps quite a bit.
It's not free.
It is not. No, putting the podcast out is not free. So if you want to help us out, head to our Patreon. And if you have any questions or anything about it, let us know. But we have a fun time. We have a special Discord group, and we send a lot of fun things out, including there's stickers in one tier. There's jam in one tier. So
yeah, Jam Cat Baby.
Shout out to Mary.
Yeah, there's also t-shirts. I also do want to note, too, is one of the things that we started doing this year for Patreons only is we've done our haunted doll episodes where we talk about like haunted items. And we did with two of our Patreons this year. We're going to try to squeeze in another round of it this year where you get to be on the episode mm-hmm. and talk about the weird haunted items that you've found on the internet.
That episode's where Mary came from.
Yeah, that is where Mary came from. And if you don't know who Mary is, it's your girl, Mary. She's lived a life on Instagram. She just went to an O's game. She's hot and gay. You know what I mean? But all that to say is as we continue, we're adding more stuff and more perks. So who knows what we'll have. And maybe you could be on True Creeps and like do an episode with us if you'd like.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd love that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with that, hope everyone has a great weekend.
Thanks for creeping with us.
Thanks for listening. And as always, a special thank you to our patrons who support us via Patreon.
Please see the link in our show notes to learn more about how you, yes you, can begin to haunt the dump, guard vortexes, or even become a scorching Sasquatch.
Ooh.
Also in our show notes, you can find the link to our website, more information on our sources, our social media handles, and our merch store.
We'd love for you to keep creeping with us. So if you like this episode, please subscribe, rate, review, and share the show with your fellow creeps and or ghosts.
I beg of you.
Also, this time, you may hear my dogs shaking and or snoring. I have all three in here right now, and they were sleeping, and I couldn't kick them out.
No, sweet baby angels. Also, you might actually hear hers rather than me, where I keep saying that you're going to hear them, where it like, moves in the background, yet she's all quiet, and I'm like, I can hear her snoring through my headphones.
She does snore like a man. I will attend to her. It was hilarious. I loved her.
Yeah, she, when you're trying to sleep, she is, one, snoring like a full-grown man, and then also bunny-kicking you.
Mm-hmm.
Typically mm-hmm. in your butt.
Or judging you for sleeping.
Oh, yeah. Or she's, like, creating a whirlpool with the blankets and what she will ultimately lay on so that you have just enough to have the hope of warmth, but not actual warmth.
No, she's like a little heating pad, though, so it works.
Yeah, yeah, she is. She is.
All right, that could be end of episode. We'll see what we hear.
This is okay. A cryptid episode. You could we're hearing it all, baby.
It's nonsense. So 50-year-old Henry McDonald. Oh my God, I want to say McDonald. So
McDonald.
McDonald.
It's often me, so whenever it's you, I'm like, yay. It's not me yet.
When I move, you have to promise me a raccoon.
I mean, I can't promise you a raccoon because I don't have a raccoon. But Ben and I do have a squirrel friend that we've been feeding nuts. And Ben has begun quite seriously stressing because when he comes outside, the squirrel just like pops out. We come out of our basement door to like let Moo out. I opened it yesterday and like it goes up. There's a concrete little section. So it's like 2 feet from the door. This squirrel pops up and is like on his belly, like staring at me in the eyes like, you got some nuts. And just like that, you got some nuts. And then I was like, I can't give you nuts right now. Moo's coming out. And he was like, you got some nuts. And then I let Moo out. And then he ran away. But Ben has begun seriously stressing about squirrels starting to trust humans too much because Ben has been feeding the squirrel like nuts for like a month. And then I walk out the door and he's like, hello. So Ben's like, no, he's trusting you too fast. He's going to trust other humans too fast. What if they hurt him? And I was like, he has a good thing going here. Like, why would he move yards?
Yeah. And if he moved yards, he's going to be somewhere that is going to also be nice around you.
Hopefully. Right. Like, it's like, what, like, how far could he go where he's not going to be close to us? Where, I mean, like, if we saw anyone hurting any type of animal in our neighborhood, they just wouldn't have a good time. So I think our squirrel friend is fine. But anyway, squirrel friends.
I'm very disappointed I didn't get to meet the squirrel friend.
I'm surprised that Ben wasn't feeding him nuts, because if you notice, there's a giant, massive bag of nuts that just lives on my stove.
I saw that. And I was like,
you're like, that's
they
weird.
Really like nuts.
That's freaks. Very weird. Yeah. There's often like piles of them by the front door, which there's no steps there now. So you can't go out it. But yeah, we keep nuts just around ready for our squirrel friend. And he eats it, or he buries them in the yard. Hmm. Our yard is filled with nuts. Because he goes, you got some nuts.
That he hides like him that. And asks for more.
Yeah, he does. Anyway, when you move to Maryland, you're going to have so many animals in your care.
Yeah.
In my head, I almost just asked you, are there birds in Arizona? Like, of course there's birds.
No, they because light on fire.
Phoenixes. Fucking phoenix. I have these two massive trees, one in my front yard, one in my backyard. Both of those also stress Ben out, but they're like bird condominiums. So there's like easy 100 birds that live in the front and backyard.
We were watching them.
Yeah. The cats also love to watch them. Mm-hmm. But it's like, that's a lot of animals in my yard that I feel mildly responsible for. And then my squirrel friend now.
Ollie thought that the same bird that he was feeding in Puerto Rico was in your yard.
I love that for me.
And he's like, oh, look, he's here.
That's so cute. That is very cute. You're like,
yep, that's him.
That's a far flight, my guy. You're like, sure it is. Sure.
Yeah. Mike's like, oh, maybe he followed Potato's flight and then stopped in Maryland.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, I don't know why. I understand. Birds eat worms and bugs and such. There is ground in my yard. There is worms there. But I feel like there is a disproportionate number of birds eating in my yard compared to other yards. And I am confused by it. Just as a note, because when you were looking out the window, did you not see them just feasting in the yard all the time? It was very weird. Anyway, let's get back to our episode.
Okay.
Because today is, it's Tangents and Cryptids, baby.
Our favorite.
Like Mario?
Mario. The game you played, you had to jump.
Yeah. I now say, by the way, I say Mario because I don't know which one it is.
It's Mario.
I can't, like, my brain just deletes it. Yeah, I know. You could tell me every time. And the next time I say it, I'm going to say Mario. I don't know. I say it wrong. Every time I say it because I'm like, it's just wrong.
Lindsay's a gamer girl.
I'm a gamer girl now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a gamer girl now because we played Ollie's little Switch thing, which.
Switch thing.
Sometimes fun, sometimes not, but an adventure every time. Ollie built a video game while he was here. It was called Hanging with the Hippos.
You named it.
Chef's Kiss. I know, I did. I was very proud of that name.
And he gives you credit for it.
Good.
It's like, Lindsay and I made this game.
I think the kids say crashing out. Henry's crashing out.
He did Lulu.
He did Lulu. No, I think it would be... No, I don't know if it's Delulu, because I think he actually, like, he saw it, right? Like, I don't think he was delusional.
Yeah, but he didn't have to run around saying it's jumping around and he's chasing it around tracks, shooting.
I mean,
and scooting.
I don't. Scooting and shooting. No, it's booting and scooting.
No.
But he was booting, scooting, and shooting. Okay, booting, scooting, and shooting with the Enfield monster. That's that. Booting, scooting, and shooting. Yeah, like, it's got to be all three. But I don't know, man. I don't know. He was. Deadass Delulu if he thought he could catch that horror's drip? I say as a question. Is that the
appropriate use of the word drip? Probably not, but I'm going to put it there.
It's perfect.
There we go.
It works. Now we've got Gen Z on the line, or Alpha, yeah, or whoever it is. I think that's
whoever
all Gen
you
Alpha.
Are, you're here.
Skibbity.
You're stuck
toilet.
Here now.
Riz.
Okay, so.
Fam. Chat. Sorry. I started naming Gen Z slow. She's still talking.
Okay, so tangent 300. Back to
15-minute episode, 9 hour after credit scene.
Good old Mertis.
Fucking Mertis. Classic Mertis.
Hey, I've come here to like fucking fight. I'm here to kick, punch, and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum. You got some nuts?